A lot of people think that asking for help is a weakness. As a matter of fact, asking for help is a sign of strength. Being around high performers, what he's realized is the people that perform at the highest levels are the ones that are quickest to ask for help. They don't debate about it. They don't sit around and, well, should I? The minute it pops in my head, oh, there's someone that can do that at a higher level than me, instantly, hey, Ryan, can you help me with this? The quicker you ask for help, the quicker you get results. That's what successful people do. What did John share about the biggest masterminds in the world that he's a part of? Like, I'm the biggest in the world that he's a part of. Every single one person there asks for help and raise their hand and say, hey, this is what I need help with. You know what their masterminds consist of? It's a whiteboard session. All right, tell me what your stocks are right now. Let's work through your business. These are people making hundreds of millions of dollars a year. And they start with a whiteboard, asking the group for help. So why did we become too good to ask for help? Right? Like, I think society just, well, if I ask for help, that's a sign of weakness. No, it's not. We all need help. Anything else on that?
Tying in, you know, I get it. I used to babysit and hover over files too. No one on the team is going to be perfect. And so there are going to be times where we have growing pains or we're bringing new people in and we're adapting and we have to pivot. And if you give yourself or give the other person grace, just like you would want to receive grace, and if you communicate, hey, here's a gap that I think needs filled, here's an area where we need to improve so that I stop babysitting files, that one thing could change everything in your business. Ryan has the same hours every single day as every single one of us. If you guys want to do what Ryan
does... He actually has less because he's got Terminator arm. Takes him longer to do things.
So all of us have the same amount of time in the day. It's just we are all choosing to do things differently with the time that we have.
Really good. All right. I'm going to move into avoidance. When I say avoidance, what does that mean to you guys?
Running from something.
Running from something? Absolutely. What else? When you avoid things, what are you doing?
Not doing the same thing.
I don't want to do listings, Matt.
So
you don't want to do listings, or are you avoiding CMAs? Which one, Kent?
With that, missing potential opportunities.
Yeah.
There's always some kind of an opportunity.
Sure. What else?
Fear.
Fear? There's a lot of fear and avoidance. Yuba shared that word a couple times. Causes you to avoid things, absolutely.
And you're just kicking whatever it is down the road, deferring it.
But that makes it better, right, Eric?
Oh.
We'll just address that later. It'll get easier
in
as
the
it
short
goes.
Term.
When we ignore it, it gets better, right?
Then it compounds with the rest of your stuff.
With the rest of your bullshit and problems,
yeah.
Right?
Oh, for me, it's overwhelm.
Overwhelm?
Overwhelm and lack of clarity.
Yep.
Really good. So when you avoid something, you're deferring, you're pushing off, you're saying, oh, that's not important, and you're a lot of times avoidance happens. Avoidance typically happens in things that are important to us or things that are not important to us. When we avoid, do we avoid things that are important or things that are not important?
Usually some important.
Typically, we avoid things that are important to us. When they're important to us, also, when they're avoid, do we avoid things that are easy or avoid things that are hard?
They usually end up being easier than
yeah.
We think they
are. We make them bigger in our own minds. So what I'm going to unpack from you is the identities of avoidance today. Because we all avoid. We're all human. We all avoid, I don't want to prospect today. I don't need to go to that sales meeting. I don't need to do this thing. I've got these meeting pending, so that's that thing, they're not talking to me. We all avoid, right? We understand we all avoid things every day. What if we could understand the identities and the ways that we avoid things as humans? There's like 12, 15 of them that I'm going to go in depth on. Because once you can understand and be aware of how you, what is your favorite flavor of avoidance? When you're going and you're facing something and you choose to avoid, which one do you usually choose? How do you avoid? And when you can understand that that's what your typical go-to is, it's way easier to be aware of it, which you can change and pivot from it. That make sense? All right, so we'll start with number one, identity of avoidance. The first avoider is the over-planner. Well, I need a better plan first. I don't have a list for that. Look at Nicole. She's guilty. I can see it all over her face.
Spreadsheet.
Yeah. I don't.
He's like, how many pages do you write for this? And she said 20 minutes. He's like, oh,
like, you understood me, Cyber.
And so that part of, I want to delineate two separate things. Like, your personality is your personality. So if you need a plan, you need a plan. But it becomes a problem whenever you use that as a crutch to avoid the thing you know you need to do. That's why I want to make sure I separate those two. But have you ever used, I got to have a better plan to prevent from doing something? I can't prospect because I need to have a better plan for prospecting, sorry. Right? Like, I can't do this thing because I don't have the perfect plan yet. And reality is, if you do the thing, your plan comes to you. Does that make sense? So the overplanner is number one. And that is caused by fear of failure, causing you to overplan. You're afraid of being exposed, specifically being exposed and other people thinking that you are incompetent. Because your identity is tied to someone who plans really, really well. And so if you come somewhere unprepared, what are they going to think?
That's got my name all over it.
I hope I can bring awareness to it, because then once you're aware of it, guess what? Now it's just a choice, right? The next time you catch yourself overplanning, that's a trigger. Like, ooh, what am I avoiding? The next, the perfectionist. Does anyone know anyone that's a perfectionist? Does anyone know anyone that says on their resume as they, that like what makes them qualified is, hey, I'm a perfectionist. I'm really good for this job.
I'm a recovering.
Like, there are people that think that is a skill. But tell me a lot, does perfect exist in real estate? Does perfect exist in anything? So when you say you're a perfectionist, what you're telling me is you probably overthink things, and you're going to use that as a crutch to not execute on things at a high level because you're trying to make it perfect when perfect doesn't exist. Does that make sense? So we use that as a crutch. So here's why people have the perfectionist flavor of avoidance. Fear of judgment and fear of not being enough. Well, if I have the perfect plan, I'll be enough. What can they say? I have the perfect plan. If it's perfect, no one can criticize it. And if it's imperfect, this person that is the perfectionist, they take it personally. Because it was imperfect. Make sense? The next one. The procrastinator. The procrastinator. This one is caused by fear of discomfort and commitment. Anyone afraid of commitment?
No.
Anyone seen anybody afraid of commitment and go to the board? They come up and they don't say their number? Why is that? Why do you think that is?
Because if you commit something, you can fail it.
But if you don't have a commitment, what are the chances that you succeed?
Zero.
Right? So it's the procrastinator. And putting things off to tomorrow, does it ever make it easier?
Nope. Mm-hmm.
But on those days where if you identify with this, again, we all have a little bit of all of these, but there's some that we tend to like go to naturally. And if yours is procrastination, just think about the last time you procrastinated something. How did you feel the next day? And the time that you didn't want to, but you pushed through and did it anyway, how did you feel that day? Right? Like, you want to feel better? Just stop procrastinating stuff. Just push through. The next, the overhelper. I'm going to avoid my shit because I'm going to help everyone else. Like, Kristen needs my help so much that I cannot make my calls. I got to help Kristen with her stuff first. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. You guys relate to some of these?
Yeah.
Cool. So where does that come from? It's fear of facing their own dreams. Fear of facing their own dreams. Fear of success. And also the possibility of failing. Well, if I didn't try it because I was busy helping this person, then I didn't fail. But I'm avoiding the thing that I know I need to do. I want to go back to, as I'm kind of taking a pause here, as I asked you guys to raise your hand in this, if you know at the beginning, if you know exactly what you need to do in order to sell the amount of real estate you want to sell, by show of hands, you know exactly what you need to do? All of you? Cool. So I don't need to teach you a tactic or a strategy. But if we can figure out, I know what I need to do, I'm very clear on what I need to do, what if I can actually go deep on why I avoid that sometimes? That's why I wanted to really spend, does that make sense? I wanted you to understand why we're going here. Cool. So that was the overhelper. The next one is, I'm so busy. Matt, you don't understand, I'm just busy. And I wear around this little trophy that says, hey, I'm the busiest person I know. You should be proud of me. Everyone give me a round of applause, I'm busy. Like it's a badge of honor. Anyone know anybody like that? Do you get a prize for being busy?
Nope.
I don't think so. I say this all the time, but instead of using the word busy, your language matters. Instead, anytime you catch your words, yourself saying the word busy, replace it with productive, and your business and life will change. Busy doesn't work. I want to be productive. This is caused by fear of confronting the truth. It's a big word. Fear of confronting the truth that they are out of alignment. That's why we fall into, I'm so busy. When I say alignment, what does that mean? Fear of confronting the truth that they're out of alignment.
Alignment with your actual commitments that you had previously set out for yourself, but you've strayed away from them and replaced that with, well, I'm out on showings, I'm busy, but I'm not prospecting, not doing my follow-up.
Really good. I think a lot of times why I shared like my mission and mission focused is that it's really easy to veer just a little bit off the path. It's really easy to hear this person saying that thing or this person saying that thing or start reading our own press clippings. And it's really easy to get just a little bit distracted. And if we just get a little bit off path and we just keep going down the path, what happens over time? We get further and further away, right? Eventually we're way off path. And it was just a little bit, but we started going the wrong direction. And so when I think of alignment, I think of, am I clear on my mission? And am I actually moving towards it each and every day? And sometimes you need an adjustment and a realignment. Whether that's with your friend circle, whether that's with your spouse, whether that's with your kids, whether that's with your coworkers. Sometimes you just need a realignment of, here's the mission, this is where we're going. Because if you're out of alignment, you will never have that fulfillment feeling. And it'll feel really, really empty. I don't care how much money you have, what the success is, if you're out of alignment, none of the rest of it matters. Next. I love this one. These are my favorite people, this one. I love emotional drama avoider. Give me some drama. Because I want to listen to your drama and your gossip so that I can avoid doing the thing that I know I need to do. Did you hear about so-and-so? Did you hear about such-and-such? Does anyone have that person in their life? You guys are afraid to admit it. If you don't have that person in your life, you may want to look in the mirror. You might be that person. I'm not going to mention any names because this is being recorded, but you guys all know this person. They didn't work with us, but kind of worked with us for a little bit. And I would go, this person would take me to lunch. If I wanted something to get out around town, I would literally say, hey, you can't kill anyone. But this is what's happening. And then next thing I know, my phone would blow up and everyone knew. They never knew that I knew. But anyway. I don't hang around with those people anymore. Right? I mean, how many times have you guys seen our no gossip policy? I don't screw with it. Does any other workplace have that you've ever worked at? Where it's on a document that you actually sign that actually defines what gossip is, what's allowed, and if you participate in it, you're part of the problem? Like, I don't think it serves anyone. So where does this come from? Fear of, it's really small, hold on. Fear of stillness and clarity, because clarity forces choice, and choice carries risk and accountability. This person has this flavor of avoidance because they have fear of stillness. When I say stillness, I want to break that down so you understand. You guys know people that aren't okay with themselves and who they are, so they can't be alone? Those people tend to like drama. That make sense? And when you're alone, you're forced to be honest with yourself and gain clarity on the things you're not happy with yourself, which is why they don't like it. And so rather than do that and be honest with themselves, they would rather talk about other people's problems. Make sense? And clarity forces choice, and choice carries risk. You have to make a choice. It's risky to make a choice and a decision, and also accountability. Next one. The numb-er. I'll just pretend it doesn't exist. Just move on. Not address it. Just go numb to it. This comes, all these are rooted in fear, by the way. All of avoidance is, if you haven't noticed the theme yet. The number, the person that numbs, there's different point. There's numbs as I'm going to ignore it. What are other ways you can numb things? Alcohol, drugs, things that are unhealthy for you. All those can be numbing things, right? Why do people numb when they're avoiding?
They don't want to face whatever that issue is.
Fear of feeling. Whatever that thing is they're trying to numb, they don't want to feel it. This one's my favorite. I've said that 3 times now. This one really is my favorite. You guys have heard this one before. This type of avoider is plays the victim. Well, Matt, if you're trying to hold me accountable to the things I said I wanted, but you don't understand. I had this thing and this thing and this thing happened. Well, I'm just trying to help support you in your business. No, you're just being mean. Like, that's just like victim mentality is unfortunately very, very rampant in today's society. Where does that come from? They have fear of power. Sounds weird to say that, but I'll explain. When they play the victim, a lot of times they have the fear of power. Because if they admit that they have control, they have to stop blaming others and start building themselves. Next one, the self-sabotager. You guys know anybody that self-sabotage? What are some ways you can self-sabotage?
Procrastinate and get behind, and then...
Sure. And then it's too big of a thing to overcome. Yep, that's one way. What about people that intentionally slow progress? Because the progress they're having makes them uncomfortable. Is that a form of sabotage? And I'm not saying this to point people out, but I think we've all experienced that. In a growth-based environment like ours, intentionally or unintentionally, we self-sabotage. How do you go from 10 pennies to 2? There's some sort of sabotage in there. You know how to be 10. You chose not to. Right? That makes sense? So where does that come from? If I can get my screen back up. Fear of success and the identity, sound familiar? The identity shift that success demands. Self-sabotagers, fear of success and the identity shift that it demands. They're comfortable with chaos. Peace and progress feel foreign and scary. So they just sabotage instead. It's easier. Next, the validation seeker. Matt, I'd do more if you'd give me more recognition. Sounds like a you problem. The person that always needs validation in order to do anything is always going to struggle, and it's just another way to avoid doing things. That makes sense? Fear of rejection and being unseen is what this one's caused from. They'd rather get shallow approval, meaning surface level that doesn't really mean anything, just to justify that they're good, then risk the deep rejection of not doing the thing. Make sense?